right, let's give our applause. I enjoy that wonderful song, Good, Good Father. In your Bibles, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 20, we're continuing on our new series called The Big Ten and looking at what God has for us in the Ten Commandments. Last week, of course, was number one, that I shall have no other gods before me. And we kind of looked at why are we having this? Is the Old Testament or are the Ten Commandments even relevant for us today? And we kind of broke that down, that ultimately, yes, they're, why we're not under the law as Christians, we're under grace, but it doesn't make the law irrelevant. It's very relevant for us today. And so here we are. It says in verse 4, "You shall not make for yourself an image in form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Father, we come before you being thankful for your word, thankful that you have revealed and showed yourself to us through your word. And Lord, you've not let us wander, but you've given us instruction. You've shown us in this love letter written to us how to live life and how to experience it more abundantly. We love you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you've seen or heard, and my son Nate loves to have these would you rather questions, and they get pretty inventive sometimes, and quite honestly, and I love him, it can get a little annoying after a while, right? I mean, and would you rather, and so here's a couple for you, because I guess I want to annoy you starting off here on this message. But would you rather wear clown shoes every day for the rest of your life or a clown wig for the rest of your days? Tough decisions. Obviously, the clown wig. For some of you, that's a very easy choice. Would you rather live a short life and be rich, or have a long life and be poor? Would you rather be able to run incredibly fast or jump incredibly high? So, I mean, there's some important would you rather questions that really waste your brain power out there. But they're fun to think about here and there. And I'm sure maybe your child or grandkiddo has asked you those would you rather questions. But really, with this second commandment, as God is giving it to us and gave it to the nation of Israel, and what we're going to see here in our story also, that we're going to jump on over to 1 Kings 18 here in just a little bit and read about Elijah. And what we're going to read is a would you rather story. Would you rather? And so my question here of would you rather being a serious one is, would you rather live here for the here and now or serve the one true God and enjoy eternal life? You see, Christian, this life is a prepping ground for the next. It's easy to lose sight of that, getting busy and having children, having your family, having your job, but God has called us to serve him. So you see, you weren't made just to have a good job. You weren't made just to be a father. Though God made you for that, but you weren't made just for that. You weren't made just to save for retirement. No, you were made to live for Jesus Christ. And so above everything else, God wants to have all of our hearts, our worship, our focus, and adoration. God wants to be number one. And so here with the second commandment, the main part of the commandment, we're going to break this down some, is you shall not make for yourself an image in form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath and waters below. Now one might ask, what is an idol exactly? And this is what it's referring to, of making an idol, something that you worship. An idol is anything that we let rule and reign in our lives besides God Almighty. Now, the first commandment had more to do with worshiping false gods, whereas the second commandment, though similar, and you can read those two and go like, okay, what's going on here? In fact, they're so similar that actually the Catholic Church and a lot of your Lutheran churches actually combine the first and second command, and they split number 10. Now, there's nothing technically wrong with doing that, but I disagree with it, because I think what we see here, and when you read the first commandment and the second commandment, though they are very similar, one, the first one has to deal with worshiping any other gods, whereas the second one deals more with how we worship God. So there can be this temptation, because we as people, we like to make things. We do. I mean, put a bunch of Legos in front of your kiddo and look what happens. They will make something. We are people who enjoy making things. You know, some of you older gentlemen, you're retired, and if you're like some of my family members, they go out and they do what in the garage? They tinker around. They break stuff that wasn't broken, right? And we all have done that before. God made us to make things. And there can be this temptation by us to want to have a graven image for the God we serve. God's like, I'm not in that. I'm not for that. One of the reasons, I'm not getting on here that you have your personal preference, but one of the reasons I don't have pictures of Jesus in my home, it's not that I don't believe in Jesus and love Jesus, but to me, it's kind of that realm of having a graven image of an artist's rendition of what my Jesus didn't even look like. We're called to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so I don't want anyone to think that I have an idol in my home or having that look. Now, if you have a Jesus in your home picture, that's your preference. But for me, my own personal preference there is I don't want anything that could do that. And so I don't. But one of Satan's goals, one of his goals, him being our enemy, is to try to take the hearts of the people away from the one true God. To try to get people to worship and serve false gods, which is something that he's been doing throughout history. And so putting false gods in the place of the one true God is what is called the sin of idolatry. God doesn't like to share you with anyone else. He's a jealous God. He wants all your attention. He's not willing to share you with any other gods or anything that we put in the place that he should be. And so notice something here. Why does God warn us? Why does this seem to be such an issue? Because the results of idolatry are disastrous. Because they affect more than just you. You see, sin never affects just you. That's one of the lies that we're told by the enemy, that it's all about you, that your sin only affects you. So the decisions that you make concerning your job, concerning your integrity, concerning your marriage, concerning your family, that it only affects you. And that simply is a lie. Because we see here the results of idolatry. Notice the end of 5. It says, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to the thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You see, every idol not only falls short of the reality of the true God, it lies about Him. And as we said last week, sin enslaves, but God frees. And that is the message, and that is the purpose of the Ten Commandments. The purpose of the Ten Commandments is not to suppress you. It's not for God to be a cosmic killjoy. Rather, it's to show you that you need freedom. And that freedom only comes through Jesus Christ. And that the law are simply compared to that of a school teacher leading you to show you what you need. It is a mirror showing how depraved you and I are, and how much we need Him. And so God does not punish the children for the parents' sins. Rather, he is seeing that our sins affect future generations and descendants. But he is also restricting the natural effects of those sins to the third and fourth generations, while graciously extending the effects of obedience to 1,000 generations. The Hebrew word here, commonly translated love and hate, are difficult to translate into the English language. They include the act of will as well as an emotional element that we are familiar with. In biblical thinking, to love is to choose something and to act consistently in accord with that choice. To hate is to reject something and to act in ways consistent with that choice. So the choice is connected to the emotion. To sum it up, feeling expresses itself in choices, and our choices show how we really feel. J.K. Rowling said this. He said, it is our choices that show what we truly are far more than our abilities. How true that statement is. So if I had to give a first point, I guess would be this. Is false gods promise what only the true God provides. I'll say it again. The false gods promise what only the true God provides. If you'll turn over with me to 1 Kings 18, we're going to see a story where concerning the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. It's a story about the life of Elijah. And there were many people living idolatrous lives, and they were worshiping and serving false gods. They had made them. They were serving them. It was rampant there. And kind of give you the context a little bit more here is that Elijah was called by God to confront the very evil king, King Ahab, and his wicked wife, Jezebel. Maybe you've heard of them. And Scripture says that Ahab was the 19th consecutive evil king. Scripture says that he did more evil in the eyes of God than anyone else before him. Now you can imagine 19 consecutive evil kings. That was an example that he had. And he was the worst of the 19. He was a bad dude, and his wife was a bad woman. Hence, you've probably heard, even if you're not familiar with the Bible, old Jezebel. So he was the worst of the worst. And he continued to help turn the hearts of the people away from the one true God towards the false gods of Baal and Asherah. As we saw last week, Baal was considered this god that was all-powerful to them. He was a god who affected many different areas. He affected the growth of the crops. He was considered the sun god, but also the god of fertility. He had a lot of power. Asherah was a kind of like was basically Baal's wife, and the people were no longer worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, they were worshiping false gods, and false gods promised, if you worship me, we'll make your crops grow. If you worship me, you'll have a better life. False gods promised what only the true God provides. And God raised up Elijah, who confronts the king. Confronts the king and basically says, because of your idolatry, God sent me to you, and it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, and they have a major drought. Here they are. They believe in Baal. They believe that he is a sun god, that he also sends the rain. He's the one who grows the crops, and here's this prophet of God saying, your crops aren't going to grow. He was not very popular, as you could possibly imagine, because people started dying. People's pets started dying. Even cats. They all started dying. And famine hit. It was horrible. And so God sends Elijah into a period of hiding and preparation. Why? Because King Ahab wanted him dead. And God says, okay, Elijah, it's time for you to get up. And that leads us to 1 Kings 18. And God sends this man, Obadiah, in verse 1, after a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab. I wonder if you can imagine how maybe that conversation went. God, you want me to go to Ahab? That guy's trying to find me. He's trying to kill me. And I will send rain on the land. And so Elijah went and presented himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. And Ahab and summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Here's Obadiah. He's a good man. He's trying to help. They're looking for green grass for the flock. And so basically, Ahab says, "I'm going to go this way. Obadiah, you go this way." And Obadiah runs into Elijah. "Elijah, Ahab wants to kill you. What are you doing?" "I need to talk to him. I need to talk to King Ahab," is what Elijah says. And so he does. This is an interesting conversation. Notice with me verse 17. It says, "When he saw Elijah, he said to him, 'Is that you, you troubler of Israel?'" And he said, "Well, what's the big deal about calling him a troubler? It's translated, 'You snake, you viper.'" You know, even today, if someone calls that guy right there, he's a snake. We had a term for that when I was in sales. That means that guy would bite you in the back. That guy would rip you off. And so he's saying there to Elijah, "You snake, you viper, you've caused all this trouble." But Elijah, he doesn't take it. Notice verse 18. He says, No. He says, "I have not made trouble for Israel." Elijah replied, "But you and your father's family have, and you have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals." He said, you're the problem. You're the one leading God's people the wrong way. And I won't put up with this. And Elijah was confronting a very popular idea that there are many gods. Let me tell you something. In our culture today, what is popular isn't always right. And what is right definitely isn't always popular. And it won't get much better. And so as believers, we have a choice to make on who we will stand with, who we will serve. And during this time, polytheism was all over the place. And theological terms, this is something we see. I think I got this on the screen here. Is monotheism and polytheism, something good to be aware of. Monotheism is a belief that there is only one God, in which we are as Christians. We believe in one God who manifests himself in three persons. Now, I know some of this may be basic for some of y'all mature believers, but there's people here, this may be new to them. And so this is what we believe as Christians concerning the Trinity is what we call it. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Father is not God the Son. God the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, two different name, same person, is not Jesus Christ. They are separate, but yet they all are God. And we tell you, the more you study and you look at the Trinity, the more you go, you start scratching your head, and you come to the conclusion, I don't know if I quite completely understand the Trinity. We give examples of things, but I tell you, you really come to realize, I have a God I don't understand. That's the kind of God you need. If you got a God you know everything about, then he really isn't God. You really have a God that you know everything about, then he's really not omniscient. He's not really all-knowing. That's the God we serve. And so, most people I know aren't worshiping the false gods of Baal and Asherah. In reality, false gods today that people worship and serve are much more socially acceptable. And when you really get thinking about it, and we're honest, maybe with ourselves or around us, a lot of people are worshiping the false gods of money. People worship the false gods of material possession. It could be that you make your house or your car, or it could be your work or your look, or it could be even your education that you put as an idol that you put before God Almighty. It could be your favorite sport. It could be your career. It could be that your hobby. And oddly enough, it could even be your children. You know, you say that, well, how in the world could our children be a false god? Listen, when you elevate anything into the rightful place of the one true God and put anything on the throne of your life besides God Almighty, that's idolatry. Most people I know are not worshiping the false gods of Baal. In reality, they're worshiping the false gods today that are much more socially acceptable. How do you know John 14, 15, Jesus said this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in our actions. Do you give your time, talents, and resources for the Lord to use, or do you hoard it? Do you just keep it for yourself? As the church has been called to be a body, we're a body of believers. We've been giving all different certain talents. Some of us have the same spiritual gift. Some of us have different spiritual gifts. We all have been given a spiritual gift to use. Some of you can relate with people that I can never relate with. Some of you over here can relate with people that over here could never relate with, and vice versa. God has all given us abilities and influence to use. And so, give your time. Give your time. See, preacher, I give my time, but I don't give financially. Or preacher, I give financially, but I don't give my time. I had one pastor friend. He was a children's pastor in Washington, D.C. Money was never an issue, but he could not get helpers to help him in his children's ministry. He could get any check written that he needed. Never had that problem myself. Good problem to have. But he couldn't get people's time. Listen, God wants both. One is not the substitute for another, biblically. And so half obedience is still full disobedience. So here's the question. Is if you love the Lord, if you're going to have faith in the Word of God, faith is simply this. The definition I love for faith is simply acting. Faith means acting like God is telling the truth. Do you believe God is telling the truth in His Word? That He's called to use your time, your talents, and your resources. Are there some false gods that have crept in into your life that you have compromised over time? And over time, you've just compromised, you've compromised. The old saying, if you give Satan an inch, he'll take a mile, is very true. It can easily happen to you, even to me. So God wants you to know it's time to quit. It's time to quit wavering. So Elijah, the prophet, steps into this polytheistic culture and he makes a very prophetic and very strong statement. If you're taking notes, I could summarize this. The story is in this one message. He looks at them as they are going back and forth, and this is what he says to them starting in verse 19. He says, now, summon the people from all over Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel and bring 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. And so Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before and the people said, and this is what he said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people, they said nothing. And so he brings them all together. He says, quit going back and forth. It's time for you to make a decision. It's time for you to stop wavering. So he has them bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. You have 850 different prophets here. And apparently they have this huge table. I'd like to see that table. I bet that thing was huge that they're going to eat at. 400 people at a table. That's quite, I'm sure maybe it was more than one table. I don't know. But I guarantee you, if Elijah were to hear today, he'd say the same thing to us. If he was preaching today. And I believe the Lord wants us to know this morning that if we are wavering, it's time to quit. It's time to quit wavering. We may say, yeah, God, well, God, keep me out of hell, but get me into heaven, but I still want to do whatever I want. Oh, God, hear my prayer and bless me, but I don't want to obey your commands. God, I want all the good things, but I don't want to stop doing the bad things. God, I quit wavering. Quit being a Christian on Sunday and a heathen on Monday.
Quit claiming Christ and living like you don't know him. Quit wanting the benefits of Christianity and being unwilling to sacrifice and to do what God has called you to do. Just quit wavering. Take a side. And in fact, that's the main point of Elijah's message to them. And the main point of my message today is to quit. Quit. Now, choose a side. Stop riding the fence and choose which side you're going to go on. But if you're going to go on the other side, if you're not going to choose the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's not what you're going to do, then go all out. Don't do it halfway. I mean, either be hot or cold. I mean, Scripture talks a lot about, Jesus talked about being lukewarm, how God just, he will spew that out of his mouth. He wants nothing to do with that. So, material possessions. If that's really the most important thing to you, then quit wavering. Just go for it. Start accumulating all that you can. I mean, go into massive debt. Steal if you have to. And I'm not joking. Go all in. Max out those credit cards. Get as many as you possibly can. And don't ever do anything generous, because that would diminish your ultimate goal of accumulating. If material possessions are really your God, then go for it and dive in head first. If it's your image, That is truly your God, then go right in. Get in the gym. Go 3 hours, 4 hours a day. And when you get there, I mean, tan it, tweak it, puff it, tuck it, lift it, twist it, curl it, color it, whatever it you got to do. I mean, just do it, right? Go all in. No price should be too great. Maybe it's clothing. I mean, you get some great deals on Kohl's, but if you're really into it, just go all in. Go online. Go find the highest end store you can get, and just go for it. Just go for it. Maybe it's sexual pleasure. Maybe that's your God. Don't let something as small as marriage hold you back. If you're not married, then more power to you. If you were married and you're not, you know, step outside of marriage. I mean, if sexual pleasure is your main God, and you're not already listening anyway, quit wavering. I mean, if you're going to be into pornography, then go all in. Stop wavering, because all you're doing is hurting yourself and hurting the name of God. Go all in. Maybe it's your house is your God. Quit doing one room at a time. Go into massive debt. Hire the best landscape. Have the best landscaper come. I mean, just all the additions that you want to do in your home, just do it. Go all in. But, if Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is the one true God, then quit wavering and serve him with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And go all in. See, sometimes we struggle in our lives as Christians because we're simply wavering. We've given an inch to our enemy and he's taken a mile. He gets in between our ears. And just as we kind of saw there in Exodus about hate and love and how that's connected to an emotion and how we end up, our choices end up showing who we are. They do. Go. If you're going to live for Jesus, let's go all in. You may think, but I people may call me a radical. People may look at me differently. That's the point. God, how can your light shine as a Christian if you're just like everyone else, kids, teens? If you're like everyone else in school and you're sleeping around, then how's your light shine? And we tell you, teenagers today, they have it hard. They do. Because to be a virgin, say, I'm going to stay sexually pure, and I'm going to do what is right, I'm going to have integrity, I'm not going to go out and steal clothes, and there's a lot of teens that do those things. There's many things that will compromise because they simply want to fit in, and they have choices to make. What I would encourage you is proudly be a virgin. If you're going to be a virgin, and people want to embarrass you, that's what people do, that's what they do in high school. Oh, you're a virgin, we're going to make fun of you. Instead, say, you know what, I'm proud because I serve God Almighty. instead of trying to be ashamed of being godly, how about being proud of being godly? It may always make you popular, but some will say, you know what? There's something different about that chick. There's something different about that guy right there. They're willing to stand up and have the guts and the self-confidence in their Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, we think that those kind of things and that pressure stops in high school. It doesn't. It just translates. You ever been in a job place? You're like, man, this is like high school and this is ridiculous. Yeah, you know. Some of you have been through that. Why? They didn't learn in high school. And so it could be in your workplace. The dirty jokes that are going around, you're like, you know what? I'm just not going to hear that. I'm not going to listen to that. I mean, you have to be self-righteous and a stuck-up jerk, but there's a line there. You got to say, you know what? I'm not in that. You may have to make some tough choices concerning your integrity. On Wednesday nights, we've been doing this study with Tony Evans called It's Not Too Late. Great study. And 2 weeks ago, he gave an illustration about himself, how he was in Bible college, and he was working late at night, basically I think it was a 12 to 8 o'clock shift, but it was late at night, and their job was to unload these trucks. Well, they had, when he started working there, the guys there had set up this system to where once a week they could get a nap in, or they could sleep the whole night, and it was kind of like, I'll watch your back, you watch my back. Well, they told Tony that this is how we operate. This is how we work. We help each other. We don't have integrity, but we help each other. And we're going to watch each other's back on this. And really what they're doing was stealing from their employer. They just kind of made it sound really nice. And Tony's like, I'm not doing that. Oh, really? Well, we're going to make your life pretty miserable. And so what ended up happening is Tony ended up unloading a lot of these huge trucks by himself. No help. I thought, well, we're just going to break this guy. No, we're not going to give him any help unloading this truck. And so they ostracized him, and he just kept on. He just kept on doing what was right. Well, before Tony had even gone there, ownership had gotten wind of this scam that was going on. And so with this scam going on, they sent one of their workers in to kind of spy out the land. And so one day, Tony comes in on a Monday, and there's no one else there but management and the owner. And the owner says, we were aware of this. We had someone working and spying this out. And the only one who was not in this scam was you, Tony. And now you are our supervisor. Not only are you going to be a supervisor, you're going to help us hire the new hires, and you're going to help train them. And he had been there for only about a month. Listen, integrity matters. And you do reap what you sow in the end. It's a biblical principle given to us. And so here's Elijah. Elijah in verse 24. Is what he goes on. So they all gather, all the prophets gather, they get together and says, then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. That's what we'll do. Sounds like a plan. Notice with me verse 26. Skipping around here a little bit. And so he continues on in 26, and they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Oh, Baal, answer us! And they shouted, but there was no response, and no one answered. And they danced all around the altar in which they had made. And so they're dancing around. And this dance wasn't just a slow dance. It was a full-bodied, gyrating, crazy-looking dance. I would do it for you, but some of you wouldn't come back and come here anymore. But it was a full body, and they were completely into it, and shouts, and it's a good thing, you know, none of us do that today, at least in church, but there are times maybe we do it. You ever been to a concert and seen some folks just go crazy? Absolutely. Maybe you watched that show, Extreme Home Makeover, when they say, move that bus! house and they end up seeing the home and they're jumping up and down and they're acting all crazy. I think it gives us maybe a little bit of insight, maybe even on sports teams and jumping up and down and celebrating. And so they're asking Baal, sin, fire, and nothing. Verse 27, at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. See, taunting is biblical. Preacher, why do you taunt college football fans? Because it's biblical. Why don't you shout louder? I don't think he can hear you, okay? Surely he is a God. Perhaps he's in deep thought, or he's busy, or he's traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and somebody needs to wake him up. So what is he doing? He's messing with them. I know he's a God. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's taking a little siesta. I mean, he's just joking with them. Maybe he went to go get his milk and cookies. Maybe he's taking a nap. But it gets even better, this part, busy. When maybe he's busy, what he's really saying, and not making this up, is maybe he's using the bathroom. Maybe it takes your God 30 minutes to go to the bathroom. Maybe he's constipated. Maybe he's just going on. I mean, he's making all those jokes that elementary, let's say, we even us still laugh at. It's something in us that likes to joke about that. I mean, all you got to do is look at kindergartners and say one word to get them laughing. It's really underwear. Bah! You just get them rolling. That's funny. False gods, though, promise what only the true God provides. Nothing happened because nothing was there. And how often do we fear when there's nothing to fear? How often do we worry when there's nothing to be worried about? How often do we fill our lives with stuff that never satisfies? And you know what is said about some Christians. They are religious and they call themselves Christians, but their lives don't match their beliefs. And this is what happens when you see some people try to worship their idol or idols and expect what only the true God provides. It doesn't work that way. And then they blame God and wonder where he's at. Their false god Baal didn't show up because there was nothing other than the one true God. Notice with me verse 36 and we'll wrap this up. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Oh God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and have done these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their backs again." And the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the soil and all licked up the water in the trench. I mean, he had had them dump three different times, dump water on the sacrifice. He had them make a trench so it would stay there. And the fire, I love how it says it licked up the water. That's quite the fire. And when the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. And the Lord, he is God." And then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal." How serious does God take the second commandment? You can read on. He killed them. See, that's pretty harsh. So is idolatry. Because God knows the effect of it. And this God of fire didn't show up. If you read later on, God looks at Ahab and says, "I know there's been a drought for 3.5 years, but it's about to rain." Here's Baal, the one who provides for the crops, provides the rain, the sun god, and not only has he just embarrassed them and showed them that there's only one true God, he says, "Now I'm going to put the cherry on top. I'm going to put the icing on the cake. It's going to rain," and boy, does it rain. And God showed that day that it was time for people to quit wavering, to make a decision about God Almighty. And so my challenge to you is simply this. As you leave this place, Christian, people are watching. Your coworkers who are lost are watching. Your neighbors who are lost are watching. Your children are watching. Your family members who don't know Jesus are watching. Quit wavering. and be all in. If you're here this morning and you've never made a decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you've been in and out of church and you know some things about the Bible, I want to encourage you, stop wavering. Make a choice to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. He'll save you, He'll clean you, He'll make you new. Today can start a new day, a new life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I'm thankful that you